This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Gemina, The Illuminae Files, Part 2, by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. Read for you by Carla Corvo, McLeod Andrews, Steve West, Eric Davies, Lisa Cordeleone, and a full cast.
United Terran Authority. UTA Tribunal Transcript, Carenza Trials, Day 82. Chief Prosecutor, Gabriel Crowhurst. Chief Defense Counsel, Kin Hebi. Tribunal, Hua Li Jun. Saladin Al-Nakat. Chanel Jillian Chua. Witness, Leanne Frobisher, Executive Director, Baytech Industries. Date, 10-14-76. Timestamp, 13:06 hours. Continued from page 359.
Frobisher, L. Over 700,000 employees across dozens of colonized worlds. Is it that difficult to believe?
Crowhurst, G. Dr. Frobisher, this was a major invasion. Thousands of personnel. Trillions of ISH worth of equipment. Yet you're alleging you had no idea about your company's attack on Wallace Ulanoff mining operations in the Carenza sector, despite your position as Director of Acquisitions for Baytech Industries.
I've already stated I was appointed to that role well after the alleged invasion.
But well before Baytech's attack on Jump Station Heimdall.
Alleged attack.
Dr. Frobisher, you've read accounts of the alleged attack left behind by residents Hannah Donnelly and Nicholas Molokov, correct? I'd like to direct you to the Illuminae Files testimony, exhibits 178A through...
Hebi, K. Defense objects to the inclusion of the so-called Illuminae documents in these proceedings in the strongest possible terms.
Al-Nakat, S. Counselor, we've discussed this already. The documents have been accepted into the record. Move on.
Dr. Frobisher, have you reviewed the Illuminae files?
Yes.
What do you make of Nicholas Molokov's testimony?
Frankly, I'm surprised this tribunal considers the fictions of a teenage drug dealer and convicted criminal worthy of the title testimony.
Dr.
A born and bred foot soldier of the Domnajov? Son of Zachary Molokov? Everyone here knows what that boy went to prison for. This is your star witness?
Do you understand this is the first Domnajov testimony to ever be entered into the records of a UTA tribunal? The House of Knives cartel doesn't speak to the authorities, Dr. Frobisher.
I'm certain if given a choice, Nicholas Molokov wouldn't have spoken either.
But he didn't have a choice, did he? Your people saw to that.
Objection, combative.
I'll withdraw. Dr. Frobisher, I have a few questions regarding Mr. Malakoff's testimony and that of Hannah Donnelly as pertains to the alleged attack on Jump Station Heimdall. You wouldn't mind if we review these files for a while, would you?
No, I have no objections.
Excellent. Perhaps we should start at the beginning.
Briefing note. Files of interest begin appearing on Jump Station Heimdall's systems on 080175. It's presumed the Carenza colony, science vessel Hypatia, and battle carrier Alexander all sent multiple distress calls during and after the attack on Carenza 4, 012875. But none of these files were recoverable. Baytech's agent on the station knew his job.
U-mail. To Director Taylor, Baytech Headquarters. From Ghost ID 9876. Incept, 080175. Subject, Operation Plainview.
Director Taylor, I know I'm not supposed to break comm silence until Operation Plainview is complete, so consider this an emergency. I've been aboard Jump Station Heimdall, intercepting communications from the Alexander and the Hypatia since the colony assault, as per your instructions. Not a whisper of the attack has gotten through, but I just snatched the attached transmission, and deleting distress calls is about to be the least of my troubles. Very soon, somebody's going to be here to deliver the news in person. The Lincoln has failed. We're absolutely f***ed. Awaiting instructions. Rapier.
Radio message, Hypatia initiated. Transmission follows. Communication intercept. From WUC Science Vessel Hypatia 78V, Carenza System. To Jump Station Heimdall. Incept 080175. Undelivered.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. This is Acting Captain Cyril Ball of the WUC Science Vessel, Hypatia, calling Jump Station Heimdall. Please respond. Please respond. Heimdall. Over. And of course, you don't. Why should today be any different from yesterday? I'm not even sure why the hell I'm transmitting anymore. Well, for the record, and at the risk of repeating myself, here goes. On January 29, 2575, the Wallace-Ulanoff Consortium mining colony on Carenza IV was attacked by hostile forces in the employ of Baytech Industries. The colony was decimated and several thousand survivors fled aboard WUC science vessel Hypatia, WUC heavy freighter Copernicus, subsequently destroyed, and UTA battle carrier Alexander, which answered the colony's SOS calls. This fleet was pursued by a Baytech dreadnought, BT-042-TN, a.k.a. Lincoln. Please be advised the Alexander and Lincoln engaged each other 24 hours ago. Both vessels were completely destroyed. Hypatia is now the only remaining vessel in the fleet. On the off chance we are not receiving your transmissions, or you are unable to reply, Hypatia is still en route to the Heimdall waypoint with Alexander survivors and refugees from the original Carenza assault aboard. We're hoping like hell it's not just a smoking pile of debris when we get there. Estimate our arrival in 15 days. If you guys can roll out any kind of cavalry, now's the goddamn time. Hypatia out.
Countdown to Hypatia arrival at Heimdall Waypoint. 15 days, 11 hours, 18 minutes.
Briefing note. First relevant point of contact between Hannah Donnelly and Nicholas Malakoff on Heimdall's WhisperNet system. Malakoff was using a hijacked guest ID. It's understood he cycled through them frequently.
WhisperNet. Date 080275. Time 14:09 hours. Heimdall chat. Hannah Donnelly.
Donnelly H. Hey, peon.
Guest 423. Lo, the princess.
Aha, you're there. Thought you might be off skulking somewhere in the depths.
Who says I'm not? I'm skulking like a motherfucker in here. So, is this a social call?
That's so sweet, the way you hold out hope one day I'm going to call you up just to hear the sound of your voice.
To dream the impossible dream. This is my quest. So, how much you want?
10 grams. I got my pocket money.
Big spender. You sure you can handle that much, princess? This isn't candy, you know?
It's not just for me, but your concern is deeply appreciated. So can you do it?
If there's something I can't get on this station, it ain't worth getting. Except a Saturday night with you, of course.
Of course, my sweet.
Oh, she called me my sweet. Be still, my beating something something.
When can you deliver? I can get away tonight.
No can do. I got biz tonight. Besides, I'm going to need a couple of weeks for 10 G's.
What? But we need it for the Terra Day reception.
Supplies low for the holidays, Highness. Everyone wants a taste this time of year. Don't worry, you and your merry band will be well supplied before your little soiree on the 15th. Besides, I thought you'd be busy with Prince Charming tonight.
I'm seeing him after he comes off duty. 15th is okay, I guess. Tell me where and when. I need to let Jackson know where I'll be.
Doesn't he always know where you are? That's what he does all day, right? Monitor personal locator beacons and speak in a stupid fucking accent. Pip, pip, what ho, jolly good old chap.
Hmm? Oh, sorry, I stopped listening there for a moment. I was busy thinking about his dreamy accent. Of course he knows where I am, but if I want him to block my locator when I head up to Skulktown, I like to let him know in advance.
Yeah, so about that. Boyfriend covers your tracks from Daddy, and that's chill. But I'm not exactly turning cartwheels over us talking biz on WhisperNet, given the nature of our biz. Feel me?
I thought you wiped everything after we're done. If nothing else, don't you want to hide the continual rejection from the world? Are you telling me you can't keep it from the sec team monitors?
It's not your end I'm worried about. I'd be having a very serious discussion with my uncle if he knew I was dealing dust to the station commander's precious baby girl. So I'm getting a direct line hooked up for us. Palm pad to palm pad. Secure D2D network. Off the Heimdall grid, as well as the House of Knives lines. So you can have me all to yourself, he said, winking suggestively.
If it was the last Saturday night before the destruction of the universe, I'd still have plans to wash my hair.
Shower time, huh? I'd be up for that. I might be able to swing a discount for your next batch, by the way. We got plans. Imagine me twirling my mustache when I say that. I'm not growing a stash before you panic.
That's a pity. I could really go for you with a mustache.
Consider my razor flushed out the next airlock I find.
It's hard to believe a criminal mastermind could be this gullible. Anyway, I'm afraid to ask about your plans, but a discount sounds nice.
We'll see. No promises.
Commitment and you, not so much.
Something like that.
See? You'd just break my heart if I let you woo me. Right after my boyfriend broke your legs.
Highness, believe me when I say, your heart's safe with me. And that there's scarier things in my fucking laundry hamper than Sir Poshley McAccent.
That says way more about your personal hygiene than it does about my boyfriend.
Good thing we're doing shower time then, huh?
Not if you were the last anything in anything. Meet same place as last time?
Yeah, infirmary level. 1700 hours on the 15th. I'll dress sexy.
See that you do.
I'll bring the palm pad with me, too. After this meet, you contact me on that. Day or night, anything you need.
Anything?
You're just teasing now.
And here I thought that was what you wanted.
You know what I want. You still there?
Connection terminated.
Briefing note. First relevant point of contact between Hannah Donnelly and Jackson Merrick on Heimdall's WhisperNet system. For full effect, read everything Merrick says in a loin-stirringly deep upper crust accent by listening to smooth jazz.
WhisperNet. Date 080275. Heimdall chat. Hannah Donnelly.
Hello, handsome. Busy?
Hey, beautiful. Never too busy for you.
I'm trying to be better about not hitting you with messages while you're on duty. See how good I am?
Not too good, I hope.
You're off at 2000 hours? You coming over? Dad's not home until 2300 hours.
Three whole hours. Good Lord, how well we fill the time.
Hmm. Nope, I got nothing. You got any ideas?
Chess.
Strip chess?
But we didn't finish last time. I'm not sure who won.
I think it was probably a draw. This calls for a tiebreaker. Are you on duty tomorrow?
Sadly, yes. So you can't do anything that'll leave me limping.
Wouldn't dream of it. I shall polish my halo extra hard before you come around tonight. Can you block my tracker for me on Terra Day, say 1700 hours to 1800 hours?
Beautiful. Do you really have to get more of that stuff?
Don't be like that. It's fine. You gotta be a little impressed I can make WhisperNet do that. Fine.
Yes, you're very talented. It's just...
It's all in the tongue. Distracted yet?
Hannah.
Jax, it's just some fun, I promise. Special occasions only. The girls asked for some and you know I go easy on it. But do you have any idea how many pre-Terra Day bashes I have to hostess? I just need a little light at the end of the tunnel.
I can't understand why your dad lets those people stay on the station. They're not even official residents. Did Mr. Prison Tattoos hit on you again?
Couldn't say. I really wasn't listening to most of what he said. What I want to know is how soon after 2000 hours you'll be here and hitting on me instead.
You could come and meet me at 2001 hours.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, the enthusiasm.
Sorry, just... Is Sam Wheaton from comms on duty tonight? Kind of skeeves me out.
Why? What does he do?
It's hard to explain. It's just... The way he looks at me, he blinks too much. And he's super smarmy. He explains things to me using words of one syllable or less.
Damn your blinky eyes and condescension, smarmy Sam, keeping my lady from my side. No fear. I'll leave him behind and come straight to you. It's 4.3 kilometers from SETCOM to your habitat, so I'll be there around 2009 hours. I might need a shower after I sprint like that, though.
Why bother if you're just going to get sweaty again? So you can cover my locator on the 15th?
Anything for you, beautiful.
When do you get a full day off next? Let's do something.
Funny you should mention that. My next RDO is the 10th. Ring any bells?
Nope. Can't think of anything interesting or memorable connected with that date.
Well, in that case, please excuse me. I'm off to end my pointless existence in the dark void of space. Tell Mother I love her.
You really got the day off?
Well, 6 months is something of a record for me. Not sure about you.
You know it is, but what's even weirder is imagining 6 more.
Well, let's handle them one anniversary at a time. For this one, I have a plan so romantic you could bang a silly hat on it and call it Lord Byron.
This sounds promising. Am I allowed to know what this epic plan entails?
No. You own a wetsuit, though, right? No allergies to maple syrup? I can get the handcuffs from a supply locker.
Don't write checks you can't cash, handsome.
I've made arrangements, that's all I'll say. Now you'd better let me get back to it before your dad fires me and I'm reduced to dealing dust for a living.
I hear that's a great way to meet girls.
Touché, mademoiselle. Touché.
I'll see you in a few hours.
Counting the minutes.
Briefing note. Pages scanned from Hannah Donnelly's personal journal. Old man used to import them from Ares 6. Leather-bound. Genuine pen and ink to go with them. If you know how much paper weighs and what the shipping to a station like Heimdall costs, you'll have some idea of what Daddy thought of his little girl. This is the first entry, dated December 74, 8 months prior to events in this dossier. Note the bullet hole, bottom right-hand corner.
My new journal.
December 74. Dear Squeak, I noticed your old notebook was running out, and with the challenge of settling into our new home at Heimdall, I knew a resupply would be urgently required. I hope you like the one I chose. The binding is top quality, so it should stand up to the rigors to which you traditionally subject your diaries. And I imagine the coming series of parties will require some furious illustrating on your part. You did an outstanding job last night, assisting me in hosting the staff reception. Though don't think I didn't notice that glass of champagne. Nevertheless, your mother would have been proud of your poise, and you should know that I am, too. I know you have your doubts about a posting this isolated, and it's been wonderful to see you support my choice regardless. I look forward to the next year together. I hope we can make the most of our time before you leave for college and give you plenty of adventures with which to fill this book. Your loving father, Charles Donnelly.
So, welcome to Heimdall Station. It's shaped like a ring with the wormhole in the middle. The outside is uneven with these structures and buildings sticking out. Permium reactor. Boring. Entertainment complex. LOL. Learning center. Boring. Dojo. Yeah! Habitats. Mostly boring. Logistics. Boring. Command and control. Jackson. Docks. Boring. Silos. Boring. More docks. Boring. More docks. Ah! Comptech. Boring. Maintenance. Boring. Engineering. Boring. The hub refers to anything within 10 stories of Mr. Wormhole. There's lower gravity closer to the inside of the ring. And welcome to nowhere. Population, me. There are 7 waypoints a ship can reach through the Heimdall wormhole. Core systems. Civilization, I miss you. Tyson. Silicon Nature Reserve on Tyson 3. Boring. Ptolemy. Neo-pastoralist colony. Yummy farm boys. Hawking. Supernova exploded here. Dead system. Kinda like my social life. Sane. Asteroid belt. Lots of water and ice miners. Who never wash. Carenza. Boring. Corwin. Heavy minerals mine. Boring. 7 waypoints, 0 fun.
Briefing note. Yes, that's a blood stain around the bullet hole down there.
Everything you need to know about my dad. First, spending time together. Quizzing me on homework. Sparring. Bonding by playing strategy games. Disapproving of the company I keep. Official functions, like meeting dignitaries or attending ribbon-cutting events. Food. Maybe protein and green stuff that tastes brown. Packing, unpacking, moving. Packing, unpacking, moving. And companionable silence. Procedure for leaving our quarters. Dad.
Where are you going?
Party time! Negotiation.
When will you be back?
Dawn!
Negotiation. Who will be there?
Boring people.
Or, Dad. Where are you going?
Dojo, study hall.
When will you be back?
Curfew.
Who will be there?
Boys. Jackson.
3 feet on the floor, young lady.
Yes, Dad.
Okay, be safe.
On the move.
Places I'm approved to go, but actually don't. Applied Learning Center, Hydroponics, Mess Hall 1. Places I'm allowed to go, and I do. My quarters, Mess Halls 2 and 3. Entertainment Complex, Dojo, Gym, VR Suites. Places I'm not supposed to go, but I do. The Bridge, Engineering, Jump Gate Control, Loading Bays, The Hub.
Briefing Note. First noteworthy exchange between Nick Malikoff and his cousin Ella Malikova. The cousins and other members of the House of Knives cartel aboard Heimdall communicated on a black hat network leeching off the station's emergency broadcast grid. The network was set up by Ella, a 15-year-old electronics prodigy who went by the handle Pauchuk, Little Spider in Old Russ.
Personal message, Pirate IM System, Heimdall. Participants, Nicholas Malikov, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 080375. Timestamp, 18:02 hours.
Nick M. Shhh.
Pauchuk.
Ding, 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 ding. Winner.
What news, my cuz? Yeah, you said that twice now.
Because I'm covered head to foot in it.
You're covered head to foot in shit. Is it Saturday night already?
Oh, hilarious. Stand-up comedy genius right here.
Now, if only I could stand up.
Bleh.
So what's with the dookie and why are you covered in it? God, did I really just type the word dookie?
Your dad and his brilliant ideas.
Oh, right. You were on cleanup duty today. How'd it go?
Like you don't know.
Hate to shatter that ego, cuz, but I've been too busy to watch your comings and goings. We're gonna be a skeleton crew come Terra Day, and I'm kinda busy. So how are our little visitors, anyway?
Visitors, my ass.
I would like to keep your butt out of this conversation, if at all possible, please. I hear enough about it from Zoe.
They're cows, Ella. You have any idea how much crap the average adult cow makes?
30.48 kilograms per day. Approximately.
You such a smart...
Smart and hilarious? OMG, how fierce is this femme? Get these boys all off of me.
30.48 kilograms per day. I know that shovel better than I've known most of my girlfriends. Almost makes me wish I was back in Slam.
Though few, there are advantages to being stuck inside a Nancy all day. I keep a list. I'm adding never having to wade knee-high through cowcakes to it right now.
This is all going to go horribly wrong. You know that, right?
Relax. Dad knows what he's doing.
Wanna bet? 100-ish says this all goes balls up by November.
100-ish? No way. Looking this good don't come free, you know.
Why the hell we gotta keep them above the Hermium reactor anyway? It's sweatier than the new Elizabeth Andretti sim in there.
Poor cow-cows.
You worried about the cows? What about me? I stink!
So go have a shower, God.
I can't. Double G is in there, goddammit.
OMG, all caps, incoming shields to full.
I hate you so much.
Oh, lies. You love me. Okay, if it makes you feel better, you're an 18-year-old boy.
So?
So you always stink, Nick. When's Dad implanting the larvae?
Next couple of days, if I remember correctly. Bad biz, cuz.
Poor cow-cows.
Speaking of biz, you got that palm pad hooked up for Lil Miss Donnelly like I asked?
God, cuz, why do this to yourself? I grant you do the smoldering stare thing very well, but Donnelly's got a BF.
He's a tosser.
Nick, Jackson Merrick is so fine, he's illegal in 17 systems. Zoe got me to dub a mix of his daily personnel announcements so she could listen to them as she goes to sleep.
WTF!
Hannah Donnelly's a spoiled little rich girl. Private tutors, designer space booties, a BF who raises the ambient temp by 2 degrees when he enters the room. You are never getting into that. You remember that time she broke your arm?
She didn't break it. It was just sprained.
God, that was funny. I laughed so hard I can't use my legs anymore.
I see what you did there.
Did it hurt? I've never had a broken arm before.
I wouldn't know because it wasn't broken.
It kind of looked broken. You were in a cast and everything.
Me, she didn't break it. It was only sprained.
Ah.
Look, just make sure you got the palm pad set up before the 15th, okay? Because if your dad finds out I'm dealing there, I'm in more trouble than his fucking cows.
Okay, fine. But do me one favor.
What?
When your brain gets back from vacation, let me know. I need to have a stern word to it about letting Little Nick drive the bus while it's away.
Little Nick? WTF?
There are worse words I could use for it, believe me.
Okay, double G's done in the shower. You coming to dinner tonight?
Eh.
You know your dad. The family that eats together maintains a successful interstellar criminal organization together. And it's last night before most of the crew head home for Terra Day. Special menu planned.
What are we having?
Three guesses.
Steak?
Ding, ding, ding. Winner.
Poor cow-cows.
Briefing note. Despite Nick Malakoff's protestations, the following pages from one of Hannah Donnelly's earliest journal entries tell a different story about his broken arm.
Journal. How not to hit on a girl. An instructional guide. Our players. Me. A girl of passing fairness. Nick. A boy of questionable quality. Our stage. Seedy bar, seedy patrons. Me. Drink in hand. Big guy knocks me over, straight into Nick's arms. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can let go of me now. Nick does his best handsome face. I do my not very impressed face.
It's okay, little lady, blah blah innuendo.
If you don't move your hand, I'll move mine if you move yours. I flip him through the air, dojo style. Pow! I zoom off in a superhero cape, leaving Nick lying mangled on the ground.
WhisperNet. Date, 080575. Time, 0204 hours. Heimdall Chat, Hannah Donnelly.
Guess 389. Hey, what kind of flowers you like?
Donnelly H.
Zunk.
Is that even a word?
Nick? God, what time is it?
I don't know. Nighttime? What kind of flowers you like?
Flowers? What does it say about you that I'm trying to work out how you're going to twist my answer into something really inappropriate?
No, for real, what kind? I assume you like him. You have those ovary things. Goes with the territory, right? God, put down the knife, I'm kidding.
Jasmine, I like the scent. Inappropriate joke in 3, 2, 1.
Jasmine, huh? Not roses?
I have nothing against roses, but you asked about my favorite.
Okay.
Is there a reason we're discussing this in the middle of the night?
Sorry, am I interrupting? Is Sir Poshley there?
No, he's working. I mean, don't call him that.
So you're alone? Well, that's a goddamn crime.
I'm fine. I leave the crime to you.
Oh, burnt.
Are flowers our new code? Did I miss a memo?
No, I was just gonna get you some. I know a guy who knows a guy, but getting them out here would cost, like, my right testicle and stuff. So if you're not down with roses, I'll just keep everything where it is. For later.
So much later.
Who likes jasmine, anyway? I don't even know what that is.
You ever notice my perfume?
Maybe.
That's jasmine. Now you know.
Ah, right. His Majesty the King buy that for you?
No, my prince did. Nick, it's really late.
You in bed?
And I'm going to sleep.
Can I come?
Night, Nick!
Night, Highness.
Briefing note. A brief discussion between Hannah's father, Commander Charles Donnelly, and his Chief of Engineering, Isaac Grant.
WhisperNet. Date 080575. Time 0929 hours. Heimdall Chat, Charles Donnelly.
Isaac? Boss, help you? Three things. The elevators, right? We'll get to that. First, I need to bump our maintenance debrief. I'll be stuck on this report for WUCHQ until 1800 hours. They're demanding an update on the UTA presence in the Carenza sector and want to know why the hell that warship hasn't left yet.
It's a damn good question. Shutting down access to Carenza is costing us a fortune.
It's the way it has to be. We can't risk the Alexander spotting our Hermium operation there. I know a lot of people are keen to get in touch with the colony. You included.
I'd rather wait to talk to Helena than risk prison. Radio silence is preferable to conjugal visits. What else?
Traffic has delayed all remaining inbounds from other sectors until after Terra Day. So once the last shuttles depart on Friday, you'll have a clear window if you need to take the wormhole offline.
Shouldn't need to, but nice to know. Mate is on schedule. All looking good.
Excellent. Second matter. I've had pushback from upper management on the overtime hours your department is clocking, and your expenditure forecasts for the wormhole maintenance period.
Are you serious?
Calculations for cosmic string manipulation alone have taken a combined total of over 4,000 man-hours. The bean counters are howling, Isaac.
They do realize what we're doing here, right? Do they understand what could happen if something goes wrong with the wormhole? Quantum displacement, continuity collapse, geodesic distortion, temporal disruption.
They're accountants, Isaac. They don't want to hear about theoretical disaster scenarios. They want to hear black bottom line.
Quantum displacement isn't hypothetical. Remember the Scylla? Whole station disappears with nothing but Schwarzschild particles to show for it. Reappears 92 weeks later, crew acting like they never left. We're not playing patty cake here, Charles. We're orbiting a seven-way puncture in the fabric of the fucking universe. We screw this maintenance up, Christ only knows what happens.
Just try and keep the overtime to a minimum, all right? We'll go over your projections at 1800 hours.
Fine.
Now, on a slightly stranger note...
The elevators.
Yes, I couldn't help but notice a rather obnoxious pop song playing through the elevator PA on the way to my meet with strategy this morning. Now, my daughter insists on informing me daily that my taste in music is not exactly chill.
My daughter says the same to me.
But then I noticed the same song playing when I got on the elevators to reactor control 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's playing on all the elevators.
It's playing on all the elevators, Isaac. Constantly.
Yeah, I know. It's a new Lexi Blue single. Katie loves her.
What the devil is it doing playing on my elevators?
One of the maintenance guys got sent some malware. It's a marketing ploy from Blue's recording company. Erases any audio file data it can find and implants the new single instead.
Don't we have defenses against that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's one of these new wave Trojans. Mutating virus. Kind of clever, actually.
Have you listened to the lyrics? I couldn't understand half of them, but the bits I caught sounded a little, risque.
Yeah. The title kinda gives it away.
Dare I ask?
Let's just say it has to do with lollipops and the licking thereof.
Jesus Christ, Isaac, I know you're under pressure, but...
I know.
Please see to it. I'm losing enough sleep over my daughter dating one of my junior officers without overhearing her singing about licking lollipops in the shower.
We're on it, Charles.
Thanks. Donnelly out.
Briefing note. Following is a transcription of handheld camera footage recovered from House of Knives hard drives, dated 080675. Original footage is also included in this file. As with previous Illumina transcripts, please forgive the colorful language. Our VidTech is no Shakespeare.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
So this footage made me lose my lunch. Be warned, okay? I'm a high-on-life kind of guy, and the things some people do for a buzz kinda dunk my head. Just saying. Footage is taken from a personal cam fitted to safety goggles. Camera operator is one Soraya Juliet Ian Haji, a convicted thief and drug trafficker whose three husbands all disappeared under questionable circumstances. Other participants are the leader of Heimdall's House of Knives contingent, Mikhail Handsome Mike Malikov, assault, various narcotics possession and distribution charges, and his nephew, our hero, Nicholas Malikov. Location is an auxiliary venting and storage room, situated above Heimdall's hermium reactor. These rotating stations make up and down a little counterintuitive, but basically, when you look up, you're looking toward the wormhole at the center of the station's ring. Pipes all over the ceiling, soundproofing on the walls. It's hot in there, moisture dripping off the glass, steaming up the camera lens. The Malikovs are naked, except for their shorts and safety goggles, and a single cigarette is tucked artfully behind Nick's ear. Hold yourselves back, ladies. Both men are sporting tattoos on their bare torsos and arms. Someone ought to write a book on the hidden language of House of Knives, Inc. It's pretty interesting stuff. Handsome Mike has flowers tattooed on top of his hands, denoting a drug trafficking conviction. A fan of knives snaking down his right arm, full membership in the Dom Nazhov. Chains of varying thickness around his waist, prisons he's served time in, and a padlock over his heart. He's withstood torture and not ratted on the cartel. He's mid-40s, built like a heavy freighter made of beef, and beaten with the ugly stick. Solid muscle topped by a face full of scars not even a mother could love. His nephew, Nick, is leaner. Good-looking. Dark hair and darker eyes. Dimples. The kind of abs you get from around 500 sit-ups a day. There's not much else to do in prison, after all. The kid has the H.O.K. full sleeve of blades on his arm. Single chain at his waist, time spent in a juvie facility, and an angel with wings spread across his throat. The meaning of this one isn't in any of our reference libraries, but Jesus, getting inked there must have hurt. The physique and those dark, dreamy eyes of his are ruined by all the cow shit he's wearing. Both gangsters are smeared in it. Heimdall gets its gravity from the centrifugal forces generated by its constant rotation. In the fancy pants parts of the station, the outer, the grav is normal. But on the levels closer to the axis, i.e. the seedier parts, colloquially known as the hub, the gravity is lower, which means all the poop generated by all the cows they're standing among has a tendency to move around. Oh yeah, didn't I mention that? The room is full of cows. 23 of them, in fact. Big, brown-eyed dairy cows, mooing like a spotted choir. They're used to the reduced grav by now, and tend not to move much. But when they do, they bounce across the pen in big, low-G strides. The ladies look like they enjoy it utterly. Yeah, awful pun, I know. I'm just trying to lighten the mood, okay? Handsome Mike is talking to the camera. They're obviously recording this to educate other Dom Nazhov cells setting up similar operations. So we've tried this with a few different hosts, and cows work best if you've got the space for them. They're not exactly ecologically friendly, and they cost a shitload to keep. But you're not going to keep them long, and your returns on a good crop will triple your overheads. Keep your larvae at 37 degrees Celsius and 80% humidity. 6 days before implantation, start dropping that temp by half a degree per day, and increasing humidity until you're at 34 and 100, which will match the body temp and humidity of your hosts. You don't want your baby stressed from the climate change. He turns to Nick. Okay, give me the first one. This is f***ed up, Uncle Mike, the kid says. Double true f***ed up. Ah, poor Nicky. You fall in love? Nick looks around at the cows. No, just, it's a little cold doing them like this, yeah? They don't feel a thing if we implant our babies right, and afterward, they're happy as pigs in sh... Besides, where you think that steak you ate for dinner came from? Dinner's one kind of biz. Sticking one of those things into Lucy here is another. Lucy? Mike laughs aloud. You give them names, Malchek? I've been cleaning their pen every day. Course I gave them names, Nick scowls. And you call me boy again? You and me go round and round. Feel me? Handsome Mike squares up to his nephew. He outweighs the kid by at least 30 kilos. Still, Nick doesn't blink. Dead-eyed stare. Little Nicky's got balls, I'll give him that. Get the babies, killer, Mike says. You're my brother's last son, and I respect your papa. I took you in when he asked, but we're a long way from New Petersburg. He shrugs those massive shoulders. Don't push it. Soraya speaks from behind the camera. Are you two going to kiss and get it over with? Nick ponders, but his uncle is captain of the Dom Nazhov on Heimdall, and the kid knows his place. He stares a little longer to save face, then wanders off camera. Handsome Mike busies himself by cozying up to one of the cows, Lucy as it turns out, and stroking her brow, speaking in soft, reassuring tones. The lady in question is chewing her cud. Doesn't bat an eye. Yeah, I started getting a bad feeling at this point too. Nick returns with a large hypodermic needle. The thing's nearly half a meter long, loaded with a clear solution. Mike takes it off him, shows it to the camera. The lens focuses on a tiny parcel floating in the liquid, a couple of centimeters in length. If you've ever seen a baby squid, it kind of looks like that. A little worm thing, no eyes, translucent, enclosed in a thin membrane. It trembles when Mike brings the needle closer to the cow. There's something obscene about the motion, something hungry. Makes me feel sick every time I see it. Oh, Madonna, Nick groans. This is f***ed up. Stop your whining and hold her still, Mike says. I don't know if I can, Uncle Mike. Nicky, you're such a sweetie. Soraya laughs off camera. Angel ink at your throat, and here you are fretting over a cow. Nick shakes his head. It's just dust when I sell it. Never really thought about where it comes from, yeah? Soraya pulls the camera gogs off her face. Hold the camera, sweet. Nick gratefully takes the cam goggles, puts them on as his uncle scowls at him. Soraya, also stripped to her unmentionables and sporting serious ink, replaces him at Lucy's side. She's tall, brunette, looks hard as reinforced titanium. Holding Lucy's head steady, she runs one tattooed hand down the cow's cheek and sings some song in Old Russ. Nice voice. You want to get your baby as close to the thalamus as you can, Handsome Mike says to the camera, lining the syringe up behind poor Lucy's ear. You can go in with x-rays if you need to, but the best do it by feel. This is an art as well as a science, chums, and I am an artiste. Uncle Mike frowns in concentration, lining up his shot. Lucy starts looking worried. The worm thing in the syringe is wriggling harder now. Your baby should already be secreting their toxin, so your host will go docile almost immediately if you hit the right spot. The big man laughs. If not, step the f*** out of the way. Little Nicky curses beneath his breath. The camera shakes a little. And with no more ceremony, Mike pushes the needle into the flesh behind Lucy's ear and depresses the plunger. Lucy stiffens, nostrils flaring. But almost immediately, her eyelids slacken and her head droops. Handsome Mike and Soraya step back. But the cow's not going anywhere. Swaying on her feet, tail drifting slow from side to side. Mike inspects the needle wound with narrowed eyes. He swabs it with some disinfectant handed to him by Soraya, nods as if satisfied. Michael fucking Angelo me. Lucy the cow moves softly. Her pupils are dilated, jaw hanging loose, drool spattering on the floor. Little Nicky rips the camera off his head, throws it aside, stumbling footsteps. Fuck, he says. Think I'm gonna be sick. I hear you, kid. And you're not the only one.
Briefing note. In case you were wondering what the hell all that was about, a quick primer on the interstellar narcotics trade.
Unipedia. Eyes and mouth open. Lanima. Lanima are a species of parasitic linguistata, native to the planet Pangaea 3, characterized by a serpentine body, two long forelimbs, and four sucking mouths, similar to Terran lamprey eels. Each jawless mouth is equipped with an elongated prehensile tongue. Lanima feed on electromagnetic frequencies emanating from brainwave activity, typically by attaching one or more mouths to the cranial region of their victims and inserting the tongue through available orifices, ears, eyes, mouth, etc. Their name derives from the Latin lambere, to lick, and anima, soul. Lanima secrete a psychoactive venom, which they use to immobilize prey. Lanima will feed on brainwave activity until their victims are reduced to a permanent, vegetative state. But the act of feeding itself often fails to kill the victim. Neo-Davidian colonists of Pangaea 3, who first discovered the species, referred to victims as being rendered soulless, hence the overly poetic name. They rank number 4 on celebrity xenobiologist Patrick Danger O'Duffy's 10 Reasons Why Whoever Created the Universe is an Absolute Prick list, right behind elevator music. Characteristics. Lanima, colloquially called lickers, are apex-level predators known for their hostile temperaments and aggressive territoriality. Specimens have reached recorded lengths of 3 meters, with individual jaw circumferences of over 30 centimeters. The creatures are apparently sightless, sensing vibration by licking the air around them. They become extremely agitated in the presence of noise exceeding 100 dB. Xenobiologists postulate it may interfere with their aural network, the way rapidly strobing light might agitate a human. Lickers are covered in a moist dermis, which produces a kaleidoscopic pattern when exposed to visible light. They secrete a thick, oily fluid from subdermal glands. The secretion reacts in the presence of CO2 to produce an airborne psychoactive used to disorient and disable prey. Lanima are ambush predators, typically roaming their territory in spiral patterns and coating available surfaces with life cycle. Lanima reproduce via asexual methods, but will not seed larvae unless they sense an abundance of electromagnetic activity in the surrounding area. They prefer tropical environments and are repelled by frigid temperatures. Their secretions coagulate below 10 degrees Celsius, making movement difficult. Lickers can grow extremely rapidly. The more one can feed, the faster its cells will replicate. They possess at least canine-level intelligence. Taxonomy, cultivation, and uses. Of course, where there's a hallucinogen involved, you can bet the space farm there's an illicit drug trade close by, and Lanima secretions are no exception. When dried and processed, these secretions produce a powdered substance known as tetraphenotriphylamine, colloquially referred to as dust. Addictive, peerlessly potent, and relatively side-effect-free, dust is a highly desired narcotic in both core and fringe systems. Lickers begin secreting venom almost immediately after conception. Larvae are laid inside living hosts, kept blissfully paralyzed by the toxin. Most dust farms typically incubate larvae inside bovines or other large mammals and raise the Lanima infants until they reach problematic length. 2 meters is generally considered unmanageable. Due to Lanima life cycles, farms are typically situated in densely populated areas, the surrounding brainwave activity promoting rapid growth and thus secretions in the infants. Now, if you're thinking the idea of raising a litter of psychic, brain-eating alien snake things in the middle of a crowded city sounds like a f***ing dangerous way to make a living, you'd be correct. Most core planetary governments and the United Terran Authority have outlawed the breeding and keeping of Lanima without...
Briefing note. So, you fine chums are now asking yourselves, why would anyone risk getting up close and personal with Lucy and the Lickers? Here's a page from Hannah Donnelly's journal, her best effort at conveying what a trip on dust feels like.
Journal. 7 August 75. Countdown to our 6-month anniversary. 2 days to go. Eee! Gentlefolk of all persuasions, it's time for a history of Hannah and Jackson. Past, present, future. Past. First contact. Mail from Jackson. Received 12/15/74. Subject: orientation.
Good morning, Miss Donnelly, and welcome to Jump Station Heimdall. My name is Jackson Merrick, and I'm a member of the Heimdall Security Division, HeimSec for short. I've been assigned as your orientation buddy, and it will be my privilege to show you around the station and answer any queries you might have about our procedures, operations, and, of course, the station itself. Heimdall is as large as a small city, with a population of over 10,000, and navigation can be quite intimidating at first. But I'm here to ensure your transition is a smooth one, and to help in any way possible. It's customary to take newcomers on a guided tour, so they can familiarize themselves with Heimdall's layout. Please let me know a time that's convenient for you, and I'll be happy to escort you around the station. It's also standard operating procedure for each Heimdall staff member to have a personal locator beacon, PLOBE, implanted subdermally for safety reasons. Airlocks will not vent if the system detects a PLOBE inside. Though you're not technically staff, your father has requested an implant regardless. The devices are small, and the procedure is quite painless. Please let me know a time that suits. If you need a query resolved urgently, please reply to the above address or contact me on my WhisperNet channel, day or night, and I'll attempt to resolve it ASAP. I look forward to meeting you. J. Merrick, Heimdall Security Division.
Here's a page from Jackson's first interview. Just hired at Heimdall.
Wallace Ulanoff Consortium. Building Better Tomorrows. Personnel Profile, Number 9858. Name, Merrick Jackson. Title, Orientation Officer. Ident 5812. Birthdate, 060656. Division, Heimdall Security. Hire date, 08/15/74. Part 5. Getting to Know You.
All right, 10 questions time for our young Mr. Merrick. Who would you want with you if stranded on an uninhabited planet?
If not dying was a priority, I'd say my father.
He was a United Terran Authority Marine for 27 years. If there's something he doesn't know about not dying, it's not worth knowing. But realistically speaking, I'd probably pick Elizabeth Ann.